If you know this mantra, what we're going to do is we're going to be chanting Om three times, and then we're going to do Patanjali Sutra, and I want to glorify Patanjali today. So three times. Take a nice deep breath, relax. Om. If you know the Patanjali Sutra, you can sing it with me. If you don't know it, you can just hear it. Yogena chittasya padena vacha malam sharirasya cha vedkena yopakarotam pravaram muninam patanjalir anantosmi Abahu Purushakaram Shesha Chankra Siddharanam Sahasra Shirasam Shvetam Pranamami Patanjalim. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sarva Mangal Mangalle Shive Sarvartha Sadike Sharna Netram Ambike Gauri Narayani Namostute Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyana Anjan Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamine Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I pray to my Guru and my Guru Parampara who's flowing through me. I pray to Sri Krishna, I pray to Patanjali to bless all of us who are present here today in the Sabha, in the Yoga Sabha. And I want to start by offering my pranipat, my pranams, to the greatest mystic, the Lord of all yogis, Sri Krishna. I want to offer the deity of yoga is Ananta Shesha, who is also called Patanjali, who was an avatar here, an avatar or avatar as you guys call it, here on planet Earth. A Ananta Shesha, you become the bed of Sri Vishnu. You become whatever you have to. You are the foundation of yoga and mystics. Please bless all of us who are present here today on this day of Navaratra. Please open our hearts and mind and let us understand the true meaning of yoga. And last of all, I pray to Sri Ambika, Gauri, Narayani, the Devis to bless us all. Namaste. That was long. I'm sorry I took that long. So let's get started. I want to start by asking you, if you're a yoga teacher, please do not answer, because then you would answer correct. If you're not a yoga teacher specifically, please let me know, what is yoga? What do you think is yoga? And there is no judgment, there is no correct or incorrect answer. Just what do you think is yoga? What is yoga according to you?
It's the union between self and the infinite.
That's beautiful. Anyone else? You can also unmute yourself. Anyone? Okay. Oh, you already know all of this. Okay, then I have a question for you. My question is asana yoga? A yes or no question. Let me make a whiteboard here that might make it easier. Is so I'm getting the answer, no, it is not yoga. Part of yoga. Great answer, Francisca. What part of yoga? If we had to make a fraction, what part of yoga is asana? 1 out of 8, because yoga is a process which has 8 steps. And asana is 1 step. And if we had to give weightage, if we had to give weightage to the 8 steps of yoga, asana gets only 15% to 20% weightage. Everything else is the rest of it, right? So let's go quickly. You guys already know this, so I won't take much time. Let's go back to my thing. So I want to talk straight. Yoga is not wearing beautiful, designer clothes and showing our abs. I have a big belly and I love doing yoga. it is not being able to put our leg behind and, just twist our body in certain ways. That is exercise. Yoga is a life process. Where is yoga coming from? There are many texts. So I just want to talk about one Upanishad. It is called Chandilya Upanishad. So there are 8 angas of yoga described in Chandilya Upanishad. We'll also talk about different other stuff as well. This is just one starting with that. According to Chandilya Upanishad, which is one of the very ancient texts, Upanishads came around the same time just after Vedas. So they've been taken from the Vedas. According to that, there are 8 angas of, you have Ashtanga Ayurveda, you also have Ashtanga Yoga, 8 limbs. So let's look at Yama. There are 10 Yamas. So you remember, when we do Ayurveda, you have 3 doshas and you have 7 dhatus, right? So Yama, there are 10 Yamas. What they mean, we'll get to it in a minute. There are asanas in Chandilya Upanishad, only 8 asanas are mentioned. A lot of asanas that you see in yoga studios were manufactured. They're just made up, which is okay. Maybe someone got the asana, through Kripa and it was revealed to them. But our Upanishads do not mention, for example, there is a Surya Namaskara or sun salutation. The only time you see in Mahabharata, a character called Karna is doing Surya Namaskar, and Surya Namaskar is also being mentioned in Ramayana as well. And Surya Namaskar, sun salutation, is not the... It is a mantra that you're in. It's an invocation to Surya Narayana, to sun god, the deity of sun. It is an invocation by using your body and mind and doing tapas. Om Ravaye Namaha, Om Bhanave Namaha, offering and prostrating and asking for physical, mental, spiritual healing, asking for strength, right? So that's what Surya Namaskara or sun salutation is. It's not, it, the physical part is, so my teacher, and pardon me, all the Indians, he would say that, yoga can give us so much spiritual benefit, and people run after asana, and asana is the gobar. It is the mala, it is the purisha, it is the stool. It is a stool product, basically. It's gobar is, it is the stool of cow, basically. So you have 3 categories of pranayama, 5 categories of pratyahara, 5 categories of dhyana, 2 categories of dhyana, and 1 samadhi. This is only according to Chandilya. According to other textbooks, ancient texts like Gharanda Samhita or Patanjali Sutra, there is different. I am just picked one up, just like that, right? So again, asana is not yoga. This is an exercise. Now, if she was doing this vinyasa with breathing, as part of a process where she started with invocation and mantras, and she has an objective, by doing this, I shall achieve. This is a tapasya. Doing the exercise with breathing is still not yoga. You have to do it as part of, I'm going to do it 3 times a week. The days I'm doing yoga, I'm going to try not to do ahimsa. I'm going to try to be vegetarian. I'm going to try to be nice to other people. I will not have hatred in my heart and things like that. I will have a lifestyle. So yoga is a lifestyle, just like Ayurveda is a lifestyle. Yoga and Ayurveda are not really, even I say it to everybody, they're sisters. They are different darshanas. Ayurveda is Sankhya Darshana. It's a different philosophy, and yoga is a different philosophy. The philosophy of yoga is mentioned in Gharanda Samhita, Patanjali Sutra, Bhagavad Gita. Yoga, Ayurveda is Sankhya, which is a different philosophy. They're like different. And the aim and objective of yoga is, like you said, a union with the self. So just by doing asana, we are doing great exercise and our body will look good and we'll have some stress relief, no doubt. But will it lead us to, like, will we go to a heavenly planet just by doing asana? We will not. We need to do other stuff as well. So this was one thing that I wanted to share. Let me go back to my other thing. So let's, I'm not going to get into what is yoga, who's yogi and so on. I'm more interested in the eight parts of classical Ashtanga yoga. And when I say Ashtanga yoga, it doesn't mean the Ashtanga yoga that was started by the Mysore Ashtanga yoga, which was started by these people in Mysore. That is just something else. Ashtanga yoga means is actually also Hatha yoga. Everything is Hatha yoga. They're all Hatha Yoga, just the different names have been given. So we know this, Yoga Chitti, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Yoga is the cessation of the turnings of the mind. And the book that is taken as like authority by all people is like Patanjali Sutras, right? We know that. You know a lot of this, so I am more interested. I'm going to come back to this. So some of the ancient texts that I'm interested in talking about is Yoga Sutra, Hatha Yoga Pradipika, Bhagavad Gita, Gharanda Samhita, and Shiva Samhita. Just like I've taught you in Ayurveda, you will get a lot of websites and books and they're saying, oh, Ayurveda says this, Ayurveda says that, Ayurveda says this. Where does it say? Does it say it in Charaka Samhita? Does it say it in Ashtanga Ridham? Does it say it in Yoga Ratnakara? Right? Maybe someone will manufacture a new book and say, oh, I am an Acharya, right? How we know that it is authentic? It has to be accepted by everybody as an authority. These texts are accepted by authority. If it is not in here, then it's a made-up asana. So there's a little difference. And here, of course, there is the... Let me write that down. Shandilya Upanishad. So Shandilya Upanishad also talks about it, but the authority, Hatha Yoga, Pradipika, Yoga Sutra are kind of taken, these books are taken more as an authority. So that's why there's so much confusion exactly what is yoga, because different books are talking about different yoga processes, right? So Yoga Sutras of Patanjali are basically nothing. First, let's talk about who's Patanjali. Let me ask this, put this question out there for you guys. Who is Patanjali? Can you tell me who is Patanjali? Who is Patanjali? Anybody? You can unmute yourself and talk, no problem. Yeah, exactly. A sage, a rishi. I'm coming to that. That's very nice. First being to codify the yoga knowledge. Yes. An author, father of yoga. But who is he? He's just random guy who came and started writing about yoga, right? Who is he? Who is this rishi? Who is it? Let me give you, he's an avatar. He's an avatar. He is an, you know, incarnation. Who is he? Have you seen little deities of Patanjali and they are like these snake heads? What are these snake heads coming out of him? What do you think that is? And it's okay if you don't know, I'll tell you. Yes, Janani, he's Anantashesha, he's Adishesha. Adishesha himself, he's glorifying. He's definitely got some psychic power. You're right. He is a master of mystics. Soumya, how do you explain Adishesha? I was actually thinking how to explain Adishesha. Because, you know, you go to yoga studios, they have a little, and then they have this little deity of Patanjali that they're praying to. And then I, you know, yogena chittena padena vacha malam sharirasya cha vedikena, we did this. Who is this person? He is Anantashesha. He's Adishesha. So let's understand where this is coming from. Here we go. Here's a picture of, can everybody see this picture of Vishnu on a little, like a big bed of snake? Can everybody see this? Yeah. So you know the snake that you're seeing? So Vishnu can become really small, or he can become giant. He's so giant that his head is on one planet and his legs are in another planet, like at a scale that you and I cannot imagine, the cosmic scale. Right, exactly. He's not a snake. He's not even a naga. He is not a naga, Soumya. He is Lord Vishnu himself, has taken the form of Anantashesha, and he. So when Vishnu comes as Krishna or Sri Rama on Earth or any planet he goes to, all the arrangement is done by Anantashesha. Anantashesha also become Bala. He's a manifestation of Vishnu. That means he's Vishnu Tattva. So if you heard in the beginning, I don't know if you were here, he is what? Abahu Purushakaram Shesha Chakra Asidharinam Sahasra Shirasam Shvetam Pranamami. He also has a form where he becomes like a man-like or god-like human form. And he's wearing white clothes. And he's standing like this. He can have Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. He can have the four symbols. And he is glorifying. And there's a story that he wrote all of this. He manifested the yoga sutras. But then somebody made him mad. I won't get into how. And then they were like 1 million verses on yoga. And all of them were destroyed and just a few were left afterwards. Yes, Lakshmana, Balaram are also Adish. So Patanjali is actually Adishesha or Ananta. So if you look at Anantosmi, so when we do prayers to Patanjali, we say Ananta. And this is becoming a Sanskrit class, so I'm going to go back to my yoga. I hope that was not too confusing. Was it too confusing? Let me know. So Patanjali is a manifestation of Sri Patanjali is no one but a manifestation of Anantashesha. That's why he is an authority. That's why if you go to Iyengar Yoga Studio or you go to anyone, we are always praying to Patanjali because he is the one who manifested. Only 196 are left. Where is the rest of the million verses? They all got destroyed. There's a story, Atul knows it better than me. It's a whole story that there was someone that made Anantashesha mad. And Anantashesha, when he talks, fire comes out of his millions of his mouths. And there is some story, I don't remember this exact one. Okay. So the first one, if you can download, there's a lot of books out there, you can download them and you can read them. The chapter one is Samadhi Pada, then the Sadhana Pada is practice, Vibhuti Pada, Kevalya Pada. We're not going into this because it's not technically a yoga teacher training. This is just introducing where we are coming from. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is 18 chapters. Bhagavad Gita was manifested by Sri Krishna when there was this great battle going on called Mahabharata. And, literally millions of kings died in that battle. It was like the greatest battle ever. And between that, the battle was between, two brothers, two families. So Arjuna is the protagonist who says, I'm not going to fight my family for land to become a king. And so then Krishna comes and then, he talks about the yoga process. He talks about the Sankhya process. He talks about Karma Yoga. He talks about Bhakti Yoga. He talks about all the yoga process, everything, the yamas, the niyamas, the breath. So pranayama there are three types of breath mentioned, Kumbhaka, Rechaka, Puraka. It is all coming from Bhagavad Gita. Then you have Gharanda Samhita. If you go to India, a lot of people who practice yoga, they do Shatakarma. Shatakarma means six types of purification, very similar to, they will do mudras, I don't know if Pratipa ji is there. She is a classical Indian dancer. In front of her, I wouldn't dare showing you. Pratipa ji, please forgive me. Pataka, Tripataka, I think that is Shuktunda. This is Lord Vishnu. This is Shankar. Sorry, Pratipa ji, I don't know. I am not a classical dancer like you. This is, you know, Pranama, Anjali, Anjali Mudra, Jnana Mudra, right? So many mudras are there. I think this is the chakra, I think, right? Pradeepa ji, you can teach us later. If I make a mistake, let me know, okay? Right? So, asana strengthens, and what are these mudras doing? So, Shankar Chakra, I'm doing the, you know, you, if you do this, just doing this mudra, and just even just by doing it, you're purifying your entire body. Just doing this. Nothing, just doing this. Jnana Mudra. And then when you sit, you know, put one hand on the top of the other hand. This, Anjali, when you want to receive blessings, we go like this. I want to receive blessings. So these mudras are very, actually very powerful, specifically when they are done with mantras. Some mudras can heat your body up and so on. Pratyahara calms, pranayama gives lightness, dhyana gives perception, samadhi isolation. So this is all coming from Gharanda. Then you have the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which is again, you know, it is not Hatha or... Did I do it okay, Pradipa? I know if she's there, I'm going to be very... You know, Pradipa is like a... Like, you have to check out her videos. She's like a classical Indian dancer. I was remembering one of her dances today. When she visits, I always have her teach me a few steps. So I would love to see her, you know, Durga Stuti. She does Kuchipudi dance. Anyway, so this is stuff that we'll be taking up a little bit, not a lot. So Pradipa ji is going to show you some asanas. She's going to teach you pranayam. She's going to teach you mudras. Samadhi cannot be taught. We have not received samadhi. Once you go into samadhi, you never come back into this life. So that is not something we are teaching. So in the next week, as the labs go on, that's what we would be doing. So let's go and look at the Ashtanga Yoga. What is the meaning of Yama? There's so many meanings. This behavior restraint is like one way of saying it. Anybody, what do you mean by Yama, the first limb of yoga? You can either unmute yourself or you can put it in the chat, whatever works for you. Anybody? It is the don't. But don't what? Don't what? Is it the kind of don't like, you know, when we go to school, there are rules that are made for little children. Don't run too fast. Or don't do this. Don't. Rules of body or rules of mind or rules of spirit. Yes. Rules of what? Is the rules and the don'ts of what? Mind or body or what? Or all? Exactly. They apply Yama, Brahmacharya, Daya, Arjava, Kshama, Dhriti, Mitahara, Ahimsa, Satya, Asateya. These are the 10 Yamas according to Shandilya. But normally in different, some many books just give 5 rules. So if someone is following Yama, Ahimsa, Brahmacharya, Niyamas, Shaucha, Santosh, maybe they are not practicing a little bit of the... I think I forgot the asana. Look at me. Yes, asana has been forgotten here. I will add that. Okay. So if they are doing... If you're only doing one limb of yoga practice, let me... If you're doing only one limb of yoga practice, right? Then you're not practicing yoga. You have to start practicing a little bit of all of those. So let's look at the yama, the one that is accepted. The first set of the 10 ethical guidelines is a pretty good, rules of personal cultivation is a really, really good. But they're more than rules. As far as it's a guideline is something like, oh, I'm giving you a guideline. You can kind of loosely follow it. Yama and niyamas are something, once you've taken it, you've that's written in stone. You know, it's kind of, for example, my Indian friends, anybody does Vrat, anybody does or any of the yoga teachers who are present. So Vrat is a yama. It is a niyama, it's a yama, right? So this is Navratra, the 9 days of Devi are going on, and a lot of women are fasting from, you know, different stuff. I'm fasting from grains, and, you know, people do different kind of stuff in Vrat. So yama is like, I have taken this rule and I am making a promise that I shall not do this. So you don't even have to do yama for the rest of your life. You can make a yama or a niyama for 10 days or 15 days or 30 days. For example, I've taken something personally. I'm doing it for, I did it. It's going to finish October 30th. And from October 31st to November 30th, my one will finish and the second one will start because it's Kartik Vrata. So I've been doing Chaturmas, which is the 4 months of Vrata. And then I'm doing the 1 month. So there was something different rule to follow. Like I will not eat onion, garlic or whatever. You know, I'm going to do different things. Or you try to get up 5 a.m. in the morning. For a Kapha person, that's like 2 a.m., you know. For the rest of you, oh, that's really hard to get up early in the morning. So you can take any of these guidelines, and ideally you want to, so you can say, okay, for example, you decide I'm going to practice yoga for 1 month, but what yoga are you going to practice? Are you going to do some Surya Namaskara, sun salutation, and put some YouTube video on, and you're going to do some exercise? That is not yoga. Let's just be very clear what yoga is. Yoga is a process to cleanse your mind. Mind does everything and then the body follows. And then when we are exercising, the aim and objective of exercise is to give a little hardship to our body, which is called tapas. And the yoga process, the following of yama, niyama, yoga has to have an end game. For example, you can say, I am going to do this vrata and I'm going to do Surya Namaskara, sun salutation. Like there are people who do it like 108 times. I don't know how they do it. But I'm going to do 9 every day and I'm going to offer water to sun and I'm going to follow this. And end of this, I'm asking from the sun, from earth, from Krishna or from Patanjali that this should happen in my life. It is like kind of almost like I'm giving something for getting something in return. Does it make sense? So the yama, ahimsa, is non-violence. That means we should not speak. It's very hard. And nobody, none of us have reached the point where we have become expert. The idea is we can do it for one day. For example, when we do the Kartik Vrata, which is starting October 31st, which is the Purnima full moon, to November 30th full moon, we try in our Vaishnav culture, like Soumya, you do it, or on Ekadashi, we try, when you do this Vrat, we should not even harm an ant. And a lot of people in India, like these 9 days of goddess worship are going on. A lot of people in India will stop eating all kind of meat. Yeah. It's like all the restaurants, they start serving grain-free food. You know, it's all grain-free. Everything is grain-free. It's wonderful. So everybody becomes vegetarian for 9 days. Because they are following the ahimsa as part of their yoga process for 9 days, and that is absolutely okay. It is not like you have to, and it's easier if somebody doesn't want to give something up. It is easier for them to give it up for 9 days strictly, you know, if you know what I mean. And then satya is trying to follow the truth, trying to follow the truth. Asatya, this is hard for me to translate. Anybody want to help me translate this? Pradeepaji, how do you translate it? Soumya, Anita ji, Janani?
Yeah, I say asteya is like non-stealing. So, of course, there is physical stealing, but there is also emotional stealing. And in today's world, the easiest stealing would be like plagiarism or stealing somebody else's social media post and posting it somewhere, and even emotions, right? You just are just even coveting somebody's possessions or relationships.
Coveting, I understand. Coveting, satte, it's almost like, you know, in Christianity, they have those seven deadly sins, right? I may be wrong, but you know, you have don't covet, and don't, you know, those things that you have, those sins. This is kind of one of those things. So calling Yama ethical guidelines, honestly, is like, it's like, for example, you know, if we say that if a person doesn't know what they're doing, so they should be excused. But if you have a baby and they put their, if a little child put their hand in an electric socket, they will get an electric current. There's always a karma. Even if a person did not know, there is always a karma. So the idea is, this is a lifestyle. And we have not reached perfection, but the idea is, the process of yoga is, I'm going to follow some ethical rules. That is definitely. But since I cannot follow them perfectly the whole year round, some of the days I'm going to follow them really, really. Like, for example, many yoga practitioners will do Purnima Vrat. Full moon, they do. They don't eat anything. Like one of my teachers, she would do Ekadashi Vrat and Purnima Vrat. Vrat means... like abstinence, not just from different types of abstinence is there. Then brahmacharya is sexual restraint, meaning within marriage, if you're having intimacy with your partner, that is still brahmacharya. But going and having many partners, whether it's, you know, whatever gender it may be, that doesn't matter. Having many partners at the same time, that is A, what happens Ayurvedically, every time the shukra, the reproductive fluids are released, our ojas gets released. You know, you guys know how that works. And, you know, we want to do that. And also, the more brahmacharya we have, the more sexual restraint we have, our internal power. Physically, our ojas will be better because we are not releasing. And even within marriage, it's not like an everyday situation. You know, there are days you should not. You know, that's why we have those days of vrat. So that's what brahmacharya means. And a lot of Western yoga teacher trainings, they I don't know, I don't even know, even my own teacher did this. She changed a brahmacharya to I don't know what, restraint. I'm like, why are you not writing this as sexual? She said, if I write sexual restraint, then my, you know, she had 50-60 yoga teacher students, they will run away. I said, but you are not telling the truth. She said, well, I have to do it very gently because they cannot, you cannot tell the Westerners to have sexual restraint. I'm like, in India, there is no concept of dates, you know, at least now there is, but you're not going to release your reproductive fluid for a date. It's going to be for a, you know, someone you're in love with, and whether you're married or not, with the same partner, you know, in a serious relationship. That's the idea. Because when that happens, when the shukra is released, when the reproductive fluid is released, it's not just your physical immunity that gets released, but it also your dhairya, dhriti, smriti, and I cannot, it affects your mind as well. I was reading everything in Sanskrit today, so yes, Daisy, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. So within the idea is to have a relationship one person relationship is absolutely accepted, just not with a lot of partners. That's the idea. Aparigraha, so from shama, aparigraha, non-possessiveness, not to be, you know, overly attached to things, that's pretty easy. So these are the five ones that are kind of accepted by the yoga community. And the second five, I love these, so I have put this. They are from Shandilya Upanishads. It is not in all, like I said, there's a different format given in Hatha Yoga Pradipika. There's a different format in Shandilya Upanishad. So it says kshama, or forgiveness, the ability to forgive. And I believe in today's day and time, I mean, and I did this too. I got so mad at the orange person who is the, you know, the chief of this country, at people who supported. And then I'm like, what am I doing? This is terrible. So yeah, you can go around, you know, then what is the difference between us and them if we do that? So to have shama is very important. And you know, to realize that we did something wrong and to ask for forgiveness is a great quality. It is part of yama. Dhriti is fortitude. It's easy to understand. Daya is compassion. I have a, for example, someone said something bad to you, now they need help in I'm not going to help you. You said something bad to me. No, we have to show compassion, right? Compassion is very, very important. Compassion is missing in today's day and age. The whole country is missing compassion, and we need to be compassionate to each other. We need to be loving towards each other. So, you know, that's a good quality, right? This is almost like a class on ethics, you know. This is a class on ethics from the Vedas, really. Arjava is literally not to pretend who you are. So I have gotten into trouble by other Ayurvedic directors and principals and teachers. They say you have to have a boundary with your students. I just give it all. I love you all. You know, you are the reason I'm here, you know, and I don't hold anything back. It's, you know, I am totally surrendered to all of you. And, you know, some tell me, no, you have to have, but I believe if I pretend to be something that I'm not, then I am not following Arjava. And my guru, my spiritual master, told me, what you never change. And I was 24 years old then. This is like almost 2.5 decades ago, he told me. This is a long time ago. He said, Manjulali, never change. What you see is what you get. There is no duplicity. And so I try to do that for myself. But this is hard, right? Especially, let's you go for a job and you hate your boss. I hate you. You can't do that. You have to show some. You have to be a little bit diplomatic, but you can be diplomatic with sincerity. You know, if you know how to. You know, some people, they have vakapatuta, which is means they have the gift of the gab, so they can do that. Mitahar is simply measured diet. Don't eat too much and don't eat too less. That's the idea. Shaucha, very important, purity, cleanliness. So this is a slide which talks about application of yama. What is this ahimsa? So ahimsa, what does it mean? We should physically not harm anyone. Let's say, and you ask, and please forgive me if I hurt anybody's feelings here, but if you're eating animals that were killed, that is not ahimsa. Even if you did not go and kill the animal yourself, somebody did. The factory, whatever, somebody did, and then it's being sold and you bought it with your money, your energy, and then you're eating it. So some from a yogic perspective, let's say there is a chicken who had to, you know, who had to come to this world and, you know, who had to suffer his or her karma, and now it has been killed before it got its karma, it has to take birth again. So we are interfering when we are killing so many animals, we're interfering with the process of karma. This is according to the yoga process. I'm not saying that. This ain't my, you know, view. Krishna's saying it. Take it up with him. He's saying that in Bhagavad Gita. Right? Yes, Francisca, it ain't me. Yep. Yes. So another application is, especially, I don't know about this, in India, I think it's all women. We women are obsessed with their face. And, oh, I have a wrinkle. And, oh, if I'm pretty. And, you know, oh, I look fat. And we tend to say, oh, I look horrible. We tend to say these things about ourselves. That is ahimsa to ourselves. Not only should we not, words have power. Words have power. Sound has so much power that, you know, we say these things either to ourselves, they will come true. We are putting energy in thoughts. When something is a thought, a bad thought came, it went, it's okay. Now we are sounding a bad thought. Oh, I look horrible. I'm horrible, blah, blah. Or we are saying those bad things to other things. So that is an application of, let's not use harmful words for others. And if that by chance we did, let's ask forgiveness. Another thing is violent input to the sensory organs or eyes. You know, for example, watching violent, oh my God. I don't know what has happened, but with the whole, I think everybody's home in our neighborhood, all kind of, I have never seen Halloween decorations like this. It's completely scary. I'm scared to go for a walk in the evening. you know, they have put, I think everybody's, people have put these big, you know, skeletons and this and that. And you know, when you do this in Halloween, so Halloween is the time around this time, you have goddesses and you have devis and angels who come down from heavens. But at the same time, you're putting these really, like they're putting skeletons everywhere, like really, really terrible. And not one, okay, one is okay. All over the, like in the front, in the back, in the side, and 20 foot big ghost. I know. And it's really awesome, Daisy, because it looks awesome. You want to go and see it also, but it also, it attracts negative entities. It is attracting. You know, we are not the only living beings on planet Earth. You have other entities who live here in other dimensions, and you're invoking them. You're saying, you know, they're such horrible, like, looking entities are being put. No, in the day still it's okay. At the nighttime with all those lights, it's so scary. And at nighttime, these entities are very strong. And also, there have been so many deaths in the last 1 year. And what is happening to all these people who are passing? A lot of them are not getting Antim Sanskar or Antim Kriya, which are the end rites. And they're, you know, their entities are, it's just too much happening. I'm like very happy doing my vrat and praying for everybody, honestly. We have to. This is our duty as Ayurvedic practitioners. Not only do we have to take care of a person's, you know, health, but we have to take care of their spirituality. I thought about this. I asked Atul's permission. Can I really speak my thoughts to my students? What if I offend them? He said, but you have to stay, you know, truthful to yourself and your dharma. And I'm doing my dharma as your teacher by telling you all this. Again, if I say anything that, you know, it doesn't agree with you, I'm really sorry. But that is my satya. That's my truth. That's my honesty. Ask Pratibha. Pratibha has been with me, what, 2014 now? 2014 or something like that. And Pradeepa ji, what you see is what you get. I am never going to go speak behind your back. So sometimes like, what did she just say? What you see is what you get. Exactly. No, I'm not going to be watered down. Yes. So all of these, look at these application. Then, you know, a satya application is eating according to a dosha prakriti. Application of brahmacharya I already talked about, and so on. So just read through this and we'll come back to that. Niyamas are rules. Like I talked about niyamas. Niyamas is okay. Does somebody want, let's say, does anybody want Goddess Durga, who is the woman who's in charge of our planet Earth? She's literally Mother Nature. Do you want her to bless you? Is anybody interested in that blessing? Like bless you with a child, or bless you with money, or bless you with a bigger house, or bless you your health? Is anybody interested? Guess what? Those days, like when she is showering her blessings, is going on. All you have to do is follow some niyamas. It's just 4 days left. Today's 22, I think it finishes on 24th, 25th. 3 more days left. If we could follow some niyamas. On 25th, so 3 more days left. So just by following some niyamas, we can, so niyamas and yamas is not just for us. We can invoke higher entities. We can invoke blessing. We can invoke energy by following. And some of the niyamas, again, very easy to understand, is shaucha, santosha, tapas, swadhyaya, ishwar, pranidhan. What it means, first is purity, hygiene, very simple. Wash your hands. For example, Atul still does it. Atul used to live in an ashram like years ago. If we go to the bathroom, he actually, you take your, because we wear the thread, the sacred thread. You're supposed to, you know, either you take your sacred thread and you put your sacred thread on the side. My 15-year-old also has the sacred thread. And you actually take your uttariya, which is your shirt or whatever, and you do not go number two with your shirt on. Even I do that because it's considered a contamination. I mean, you know, obviously we don't do it, but that is one of the shaucha, you know, every time. Or for example, let's say you do a massage. I think Vindi, you're a massage therapist. So you're not really using oils. If you start massaging somebody with oils, oil is such a conduit for energy. Oh my God. Like all their energy and karma and stuff, especially if you're using Abhyanga. It all, it's like, it's in your body. They don't even need to tell me what is hurting because I can feel it. Because that oil that I'm putting on them and it's flowing, and I always do massages with mantras. If there is no mantra, my hands won't run. Literally, I'm doing with Vishnu Sahasranamam, I'm doing with Hanuman, I'm doing mantras. Because my massage is not physical, it's physical, it's spiritual. So I'm playing the mantras, I'm speaking the mantras, I'm praying for guidance, and all of that energy is coming out now through the oil. If the oil is in my hand, everywhere, it's everywhere. It sticks to my hair. Immediately after the massage, I have to go take a bath. If I don't, all of the aches and pains you will feel. Even with using cream, that happens. So one very good way is hide your hair. Because hair can keep your other person's karma. Because you can always wash your hands, you can change your shirt. But hair, you'll have to wash your hair. So if you're wearing a cap or something, so your hair is not touching that person's energy, or if you touch them and then you touch your hair, just avoid that. And then washing the hair for, yeah, exactly, exactly. And then washing the hand. I also say, don't let such a person come that I can't help. Because it's like wasting their time. I want to help everybody, and so please only send out, you know, someone I can help. So then you have Santosh B. The idea is to be happy. I have to admit, I waited for my Tesla Model 3 for 1 year, so I was not content. I'm sorry. I kept on telling myself I'm a horrible person because I'm waiting every day for my number to come, and I booked it. But yes, I was not content with my Toyota. So it's terrible. We have to be content with it. Really, Francisca? Even Thai massage? But Thai massage doesn't even use oil. I think I should have learned Thai massage because it's the oil that is the worst. Oh, wow. No, I had no clue. And Thai massage is kind of almost like yoga poses, right? Yeah. Yeah. So ideally, let's be happy with what lemons and what God has given us is the idea. Oh, yeah. So that is a really good point, Vindi. So you know how in Chinese medicine, you know, or even in Japanese, they will work on the foot and it's reflexology. And they say the foot is going to, if you can release the energy in the foot, everything. In Ayurveda, it's not the foot, it's the head. So even after we do Abhyanga, Abhyanga is the oil massage. We have people sit in what we call a Svedaram tent, the different types of Svedaram. Svedaram means a sweat therapy. We want them to sweat. There is Pinda Svedaram, Pidichala, there is Avagaha, there's all these kind of sweat therapies. In all those therapies, sweat is given from under this area. So you're the genital area, the heart area. And so you see, I'm wearing a bindi. I'm wearing this red dot. Yeah, so red dot is representative of Durga or Shakti. And it's right in the middle of my third eye. It's the third eye. And this area, your Adipati Marma, which is the Marma on the top of the head. Adipati Marma, this eyes and heart. These Marma, Hridaya Marma. I don't know if anybody here attended. Estrella, were you there for the... Nobody's attended the Marma workshop here, right? Pradeepa ji was one of the teachers there. Right? No? Anyway. So you have the Adipati Marma, which is right on the top. You have your third eye. Right? You have, these are, and your eyes itself. These are, you can never put heat in this area. So if you ever go in a place like a steam area or something, you must cover it with a cooling towel. Because heat in this area will affect the marma. Never. Also in the genitalia area, in the groin, it should be cooling, never heating. So when we give Svedana, we make sure these areas are not given heat, or we put something cooling there. Does it make sense? And then Svadhyaya means every single day study something. This we were taught since we were children. Every day you pick up, and when you do something like a niyama, like I told you, we've been doing some niyama for Navaratras. We've been reading some, you know, some book. For example, you know, Catholics do, what do you call it? Lent, Is that correct? Am I saying it right? So they do that, what, Lent before the Easter? Is it for like 3 or 4 weeks they do the Lent? And a lot of time they will not eat certain things, or they will give up certain things in the Lent. That is a niyama. That is a yama and a niyama. And also during the time of Lent, they will do some study of Bible from the different testaments and whatnot. That is exactly what yama and niyama is. They are doing yoga. That is yoga process. When you're trying to find, you know, when you're trying to follow some rules and guidelines to be close to your, and to be close to your divine, that is yoga. So the Lent is totally yoga from where I'm standing, 100% yoga. Does anybody follow that or know someone who does Lent? Last year we had like 5 students who were doing Lent. It was quite, I got a lot of education about it. Shaucha, we know it's cleanliness. Santosh, we just talked about. New car, new job, new wife. I don't know why I wrote new wife. Tapas. So tapas is, for example, a tapas is studying and, getting up like 5 a.m. in the morning to do your study. Or tapas is doing your asanas every day, even if you don't like doing it because it might, it feels a little hard. Me, I'm a kapha. I love to be in my, I just want to do the easiest possible asana because I hate sweating. I don't want to sweat. Ask any kapha. Is Diva here? I don't know if Diva is like that as well. Ask any kapha. We are easy is good. But tapas is when you choose to do something that you're uncomfortable with, where some hard work is needed, whether it's physical exercise or asana, tapas can be used in that as well. We already did. Sva adhyaya means not self-observation, actually that's wrong. Self-study of the scriptures. What scriptures are we talking about? The Yoga Sutras, the Bhagavad Gita, the Gharanda Samhita, the Hatha Yoga Pratipika. Reading these scriptures, for example, or reading the Bible, that would definitely be Swadhyaya. Because what is it teaching us? It is teaching us all good things, right? Or reading the, Ishwar Pranidhan, meaning, so Ish comes from the word Ishana, which is the name of Sri Vishnu and also Sri Shiva. It literally means that surrender in God, surrender in divine, and trust that things are happening for a reason, basically. So what is an expectation of a person who follows yoga? The expectations are we practice all the 8 limbs of yoga. It doesn't have to be all the 8 at all 8 times. Maybe you say, I'm going to do pranayama. Like I said, you can take a niyama for 3 days, for 5 days, for 1 month, for 40 days. Even yoga studios offer, come and do 30 days or 108 days of yoga for this much money. What is that they're doing? They're offering you a chance to do yama and niyama. So what you take is, so one thing is, Pradeepa ji is going to be doing the lab starting from next week. What is going to happen is she's going to teach you stuff, and then she's going to go around asking you to show. If you're unable to show, you'll have to record your session. So I think next week you're going to learn some invocation mantras, some meditation, and how to do meditation, how to teach meditation, and you're going to learn a warm up. Yeah. So Pradeepa ji is your teacher. Pradeepa ji, do you have any expectations? Please go ahead and let them know. I don't know if Pradeepa ji is still here. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah.
Anything? Just show up with a. Just make sure you have a headset, or make sure you have. I don't know, Pradeepa ji, you're the expert.
No, what you said was right. If you can all have a video on so I can see in the grid view, I'll also have my phone next to me so I can check my chat as well in case you have any questions. But feel free to unmute whenever you have questions. And it's probably going to be like me doing something and I wait for a few minutes for all of you to get in. It's not necessarily that everybody has to come into the post, but just to get an idea of what it is. And we're also learning a lot of pranayama, just because yoga is again not all asana, right? And all the yamas and niyamas you can practice yourself. There is nothing for me to teach there. But pranayama is something I can teach, and some basic, very basic asanas. But yeah, other than that, I no other expectation.
I think maybe also having a journal to make notes, because although you have a lot of material in the Canvas and also in the Google Drive, the way she teaches, maybe she tells you something about mudras that is not so, have notes, and we'll follow the same lab the way we did the kitchen labs, where you guys one by one we went around, like you showed us stuff, so we kind of would be doing it like that.
Absolutely, it's pretty much going to be interactive. So you have a question, we will learn mudras, we learn bandhas and pranayamas, and very few basic asanas, all the way till a sequence of simple Surya Namaskar. Again, everything from the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. So a very classical style. There is no Ashtanga, no varieties or no variations. So it's pretty classical form of yoga you'll be learning from the texts. So it's like from the mouth of the horse.
You are very lucky to have Pradeepa ji as your teacher, let me tell you. I told her I just want to relax and do yoga and she can be the teacher. I know. So this is your AC 104 module. You all have access. So today we kind of got started on, one of the things I would like you, there's a couple of videos that I would like you to watch. So please go through this. You have like 1 week to finish this. You have 7 more days. What is the difference between yoga, yogi, yoga practice, Ashtanga yoga, yoga teacher, yoga therapist, and Ayurveda yoga therapist? It's already there in these videos. This is an elective course. So there's a lot of stuff we'll be asking you to watch. Our focus is to teach you the practical stuff. And if you still don't understand, come back and I will do more classes if you think... all the students in the last 4 or 5 years have told us it's super easy to understand. So we are focusing on the practical aspect. So this is the part that you want to be lesson plan number one, you want to be doing before the next Thursday. And then of course you have up till like December 15 to or December 12, I don't know, to finish all of this. So do log in. Okay. Thank you so much again. If I offended anybody, I got all passionate because this is something I'm very passionate about. So thank you so much for coming, and thank you. Hey, Eve, I hope you enjoyed that.